Here's one of my wishes for the new year, next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. Along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Well, a very happy new year to you, Barry, from right here in Westerville, Ohio.
And a very happy new year to you, too, from the wilds of southeastern Ohio.
The wilds. I like that.
That's right. And we're recording this early. If Tuesday holds any promise at all, since it's a day that most people aren't at work, I might be out in the woods again looking for a four-legged piece of meat to hang in the freezer.
It's funny you say that. I had a conversation with someone very close to me and my family who made probably one of the most ridiculous statements I've ever heard, was offered some venison and asked the person how they got it, and they had gotten it with an AR-15, and this person wouldn't take any of it because they wouldn't eat a deer that had been shot by an assault rifle. So I said, well, wow, that's all I can say.
Well, I guess I'd have to say that pretty soon then that person won't be eating any venison at all, most likely, because if the Obama administration has their way, they are going to aggressively target over 900 different types of weapons. That's part of Senator Dianne Feinstein's bill that she's going to introduce probably tomorrow, Chuck, on the 2nd of January when the Congress reconvenes, to ban the possession, not just the sale, but the personal possession of numerous types of firearms and magazines, etc. And, Chuck, that's just plain wrong. That's all I can say about it. It's just plain wrong to have somebody like Dianne Feinstein come in and try to tell the vast majority of the American citizens what they can and can't do to keep themselves and their family protected or to provide for their hunting and or sporting outreaches, or just to be a collector. I know I've got friends who collect, quote-unquote, assault weapons. They don't collect them because they're getting ready to go out and commit an atrocity somewhere. They collect them because they find them to be a unique part of our history.
And they're fun to shoot.
Well, and there's that, too. Not cheap to shoot, but fun to shoot.
Not cheap. They're fun.
But well, you know what? If I hope that Dianne Feinstein doesn't get her way and the Obama administration is checked in some manner, whether it be by Congress, which I'm not holding a whole lot of hope for, or by the people of this country basically just rising up in mass civil disobedience and saying, no, we're not going to give up our guns. Thank you very much. Because there'll be a slightly unexpected, if he actually carries out this little threat, tirade, but an unexpected bonus if we can keep the federal government from coming after our firearms. And that is that our old buddy who we've been talking about, we mentioned yesterday, Piers Morgan, liberal British CNN show host, has come out again. And Chuck, I said this on yesterday's program, and I think it holds true. I think he's just trying to get his ratings boosted because he's probably right on the edge of being kicked off air. He's now said in the British Mail newspaper, the Daily Mail, that if America won't change its crazy gun laws, I may deport myself. In other words, he's threatening to leave the country if we don't accept gun control.
Well, don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Oh, absolutely. Well, then that's the whole point, Chuck. That's my New Year's wish, as Piers Morgan leaves the United States, hopefully for good. And that sentiment that's held by numerous American citizens, because some folks, after his ridiculous tirade against Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America on Morgan's program here last week, started a petition to have him kicked out of the country at the We the People site on the White House website. Now, knowing full well that the White House supports heavy gun control, I don't believe that they're going to take seriously this petition, even though now, as of our taping, and this is on late Sunday night, that petition now has 94,188 signatures on it saying deport Morgan. Now, Chuck, I'm sure that he's looking at this and thinking, oh, well, I got to make a play here because, well, if you don't change your gun laws, I'll just leave the country.
Well, again, if you don't want to live in a place where people are allowed to defend their own lives, then get out. The fact is that, as far as I know, he's not working on becoming an American citizen. He maintains his British citizenship, If you want to live under a British-style gun ban, then you need to go to Britain. Or if you might be able to get away with it if you move to Canada. They have a not quite as severe, but a very severe gun restriction. And, you know, we always hear these bogus statistics about how there are so few gun deaths in Canada. Well, there are very few gun deaths in Canada compared to the United States because Canada has less than 10% of the population of the United States. When you start adjusting for population and a number of other factors, gosh, what do you know? Canada has a very similar death rate. So all this nonsense about how if we don't change our laws, he's going to leave. Really? Gee, too bad. Yeah, we'll get right on changing those. Pardon my sarcasm, but frankly, I don't need people from foreign countries over here telling me how to live my life. And that's exactly what has been going on between the United States and Britain for years. The British have been, we've said this twice already, the British have been trying to change American gun laws since 1775, unsuccessfully up to this point. And frankly, go back to Britain, please. The best thing that could happen to the United States of America is if Piers Morgan leaves.
Well, and again, this is a gentleman who, when he was editor of the Daily Mirror newspaper and worked for Rupert Murdoch, had no qualms about doing things like tapping people's phones and other things in order to create stories. Well, I think he's continuing to do that now, Chuck. He's trying to create a story by the promise of self-deportation. Now, if that isn't enough, along with the fact that Americans, by and large, are very much a gun culture, and we're very much a culture that believes that our Second Amendment rights are, well, almost sacrosanct, this may be a gambit that Morgan just hasn't really thought through clearly. But we know what's going to happen. It's going to be like all of the others, Hollywood stars, who when George Bush was running for election, well, if he gets elected, I'll move to Canada or to France or somewhere. Funny, I don't think any of them have left their comfy digs in California or New York, and George Bush was elected twice. And I think of Alec Baldwin and others who've made these same claims. But the whole point is that these people are trying to tell everyone else through the quote-unquote power of their celebrity that they know what's best for the people of America. So they've set themselves up as the Solons, as the wise men, as the philosopher kings that Plato would call in his Republic. That they know more than you do, and so you just let the government come in and help you out.
Well, by the way, the population of Canada is about 34 million. The population of the United States is about 312.
Right.
So they're slightly larger than 10% of our population. And so you can take these gun death numbers, multiply them by 10, and you're closer to what you would be in the United States if you're doing apples and oranges comparisons, which you almost never are. Therein lies the problem. Are American gun deaths high? Yes, they are. Why are they high? Because we have a very large drug trafficking operation in the United States that unfortunately is where virtually all the gun deaths are from small crime and drug-related deaths. That includes people who commit armed robbery in order to feed a drug habit. So, that being said, what Morgan is denying is that, let's say Morgan goes back. He voluntarily deports himself back to the UK. What is he going to go back to? He's going to go back to a country far more violent than the United States of America. Now, he may not realize that. I don't know where Piers Morgan broadcasts from because, frankly, I don't care. I've seen his show a grand total of twice, and both times I was, shall we say, very put off by what I saw, and so I chose not to watch again. Maybe I should do it as a kind of a news hound, but no thanks. I mean, that kind of interview style, it's not particularly edifying, and he beats up his guests. Even Larry King didn't do that, and Larry King was one of the worst players. So, like I said yesterday, if Larry King was a train wreck, Piers Morgan is a train wreck with a cargo train carrying flammable toxic chemicals. So, in any case, it's interesting to note, Barry, that we've been sort of talking about and making fun of this petition to deport Piers Morgan, and there's actually a petition to keep him. Well, I think you looked it up recently.
Yes, I did. There's just under 8,500 signatures to keep him in the U.S., as opposed to 94,000 to deport him.
So, basically, by an 11-to-1 margin, people would very much like to get rid of Piers Morgan. Well, does that mean he's going to go? No. Look, here's the facts. You said he might be in danger of losing his job at CNN. I don't know why, because frankly, nobody watches CNN anymore.
Well, that's true. I really want to share with our listeners, I mean, because Morgan himself wrote this article in the Daily Mail and the British Daily Mail newspaper saying, hey, I'll deport myself if they don't change their gun laws. And he said a couple things in there that were very interesting. And one thing he said that he, as he talked about, he actually acknowledged the petition and that it had over 90,000 signatures. So he wrote this over the weekend and said, basically, the gun debate is an ongoing war of verbal attrition in America, and I'm just the latest target. The advantage to the gun lobbyists being that I'm British, a brief human being who burned down the White House in 1814 and had to be forcefully deported en masse, as no American will ever be allowed to forget, special relationship notwithstanding. Funny how he glosses over the American War for Independence. He just goes to 1814. He also says it's no exaggeration to say that America's unique fondness for guns pretty much got cemented by hatred of us Brits and the War of Independence. Yeah, because one of the first things the Brits tried to do was to go after the guns that they knew that the colonists possessed. That's what Lexington and Concord was all about. And he says, but the main reason the more fervent gun rights activists give is a fear of their own U.S. federal government using its army to impinge on their freedom, which we talked about last week, Chuck, on a program where Gerald Nadler, who's a New York Democrat representative, actually made the Freudian slip and kind of acknowledge that that's where everybody thinks that's going. Says the problem is that America's historical love of guns means the country is now awash with them and with gun death. And then he goes into playing fast and loose with the data statistics. And then he says, where I have a big problem is when the unfortunately ambiguous wording of the Second Amendment is twisted to mean that anyone in America can have any firearm they want, however powerful and what in whatever quantity they want. And he's like, well, this has led to an absurd scenario where I can't legally buy six packets of Sudafed in a supermarket or other things because they're deemed a health risk, but I can go into Walmart and help myself to an armful of AR-15 assault rifles. Now, see
that for a minute.
Yeah, let's look at that for a second.
Okay, under what circumstances is the federal government banning the buying of more than six packets of Sudafed at a time? Where is the constitutional power to do that?
Well, I may be mixing things up, too, because that could be something local to New York City that,
no,
which is where he tapes from.
That's a federal ban. You can't go in and buy more than a certain number of Sudafed because it's not because it's a health risk. And this is where Morgan is being disingenuous. It's because Sudafed gets turned into methamphetamine.
Aha.
That's why you can't buy more than six. Now, let me ask you a question. Where is the power in the Constitution for the federal government to ban more than buying six packets of Sudafed or any number of Sudafed?
There is none.
There isn't any. Thank you, Pierce, for pointing out the absurdity of federal legislation as it currently stands. The fact that you don't grasp that you have discovered that irony, it doesn't shock me because he continues to talk about this nonsensical thing about how I'm just exercising my First Amendment right. No, you're hiding behind the First Amendment to attack the Second. The fact that the only reason you have the First is because there is a Second, bottom line. And he doesn't grasp that irony either. For a man who thinks himself very clever, again, he's not seeing the picture in its entirety. He's got a tunnel vision about guns, and he's going to get rid of them. He's also got tunnel vision about homosexual marriage. He's got tunnel vision on a lot of issues. He can see what he wants, and everything else be darned. The fact is that those things are not constitutionally permissible, and yet here he is hiding behind his constitutional right in order to make an argument that the Constitution says you can't buy Sudafed, why can you buy a gun? The Constitution doesn't say any such thing. But this is kind of typical of what I've come to expect from Piers Morgan. It's this sort of liberal logic that it doesn't matter about who's right. It's about who's got the most, who can drum up the most support. And Morgan is looking about things in terms of democracy rather than in terms of a republic. In other words, if he can gin up enough support by using fake arguments like this, then by golly, we can overpower those who want to protect their own rights, their God-given rights, even though they may be in a minority. Well, Barry, that's nothing more or less than saying that the vote in the lynch mob was 15-1 to hang. Well, who was the one guy who voted against it? The guy who was going to get hanged.
Of course.
Did he win? No. Does he have the right not to be hanged? Yes, he does. But in a democracy, we don't care about those laws. We only care about what the will of the majority is. And that's what Morgan is trying to do here.
And like all liberals, they talk about democracy, but what they really want is a totalitarian oligarchic control.
Yes. And Barry, I'm looking at the clock.
And we're out of time.
So join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.